of Proverbs. And for you who were not here last hour, I said I have a new toy that serves two purposes. Number one, when you teach, you need to be able to maintain audience contact and at the same time see your notes. And I've developed a little difficulty in doing that because of regular vision, the bifocal, and the trifocal. And very often I miss points that are important because I simply didn't see them. So I realize you cannot see this very well, but I have my notes now formatted into the red and the blue and the black. And so I can look at you and make the point, and I can still see out of the corner of my eye the big red 18-point writing. So hopefully this will make me less of a klutz. And let's look at what we're going to be studying this morning and tonight. And we're looking at the opening to the book of Proverbs, which is chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. 8 through 19. This is made up of two things formatted in red. The call to listen. And that is verses 8 and 9. And then you have the command and the reward for listening. And then you have the call of temptation. And the call of temptation is the sinner trying to entice the young man into sin. And as is typical of Hebrew, we always have a short summary and then an expanded summary. The short summary says in a terse, brief form, here is what I want to say to you. Then he'll expand that out into a bigger form. And therefore, verse 10 gives a short summary, and then verses 11 through 19 expands that summary. And we have under each the words of the temptation and the warning of the Father, expanded summary, the words of temptation, and the warning of the Father. And this is where we'll be going today in our study. So let's begin with the call to listen. I think probably the parallel to the short summary and the expanded summary would be headlines and the detailed article. You have an exact parallel to it. So when you look at the headlines, in big letters you have, here's what it's all about. And then that's followed by the details about it. So notice verse 10. Verse 10 is the headlines summary. My son, if sinners entice you, say no. Or if sinners entice you, do not consent. And then notice with the next verse, he begins to say, if they say, and notice the quote marks. The quote marks begin in verse 11, and they go down through verse 14. And so what do sinners say when they entice you is found in this quotation, and then in verses 15 and following you have the warning of the Father. Now the important lesson, and I think I'll give that at beginning and end, is simply this. If you are a parent, you need to forewarn your children about what is going to happen out there. How many of you, and I'm not asking for hands, quote-unquote, kind of walked into a temptation situation that you weren't ready for? Typical of youth is you have not had experience with life, and you simply walk into this thing, and you're surprised. Well, the book of Proverbs is going to say, fathers, don't let your kids get surprised. Mothers, tell them ahead of time. Let them know what is coming, so when it comes, they won't be shocked, they won't be surprised, and most of all, they will not be deceived. And that's the essence of what we have in this particular passage in front of us, is don't allow your children, don't make your children, through your lack of teaching and instruction, come on situations that they cannot handle, that they simply do not know. Now, we don't want to overdo that. That does not mean that every parent or every mother should teach her daughter that every man out there is going to try to rape you. That's unhealthy. That gives a bad view of life. But should they know about that? They certainly should. And therefore, the idea is let them know ahead of time. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And in this passage, he's going to say there's a kind of temptation that people will bring to you. How many people around you that you meet this week will confirm and encourage your obedience to God? Not the case, is it? We got the media, we got all kinds of blitzes coming on it, and they're all means to discourage us from keeping the will of God. And so is this a live topic? You bet it is. And this is not the kind of topic which comes from the sin nature inside of you. This is someone walking up to you and says, let's do this. Here's my proposition. Here's my recommendation. Here's where you ought to go. And I think you'll find, I don't mean to use statistics, but I think you'll find 99% of the influence on you in life is away from the will of God, not for it. You two that are going to New Guinea, was this due to general influence of the media and your fellow teachers at Liberty? They probably think you're ready for the white coats, right? Probably think you're crazy. And this is what all of us are surrounded with. People in teaching positions, people in media positions, many times even parents, unfortunately, who do not encourage you in the right direction. That's what Proverbs 1, 8 through 19 is all about. So let's come, first of all, to the call to listen, verse 8. And it's going to be the call of your father and the call of your mother. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Now notice verse 8 makes an assumption. What is it? The assumption is simply this. Parents are the primary instructors or educators of the children in life. Parents are the primary instructors of children. Now, that does not mean, and I did not say, that parents are the only educators of their children. I said parents are the primary educators of their children. And this means you as the primary responsible one, and if you're a parent and got two little kids, you are divinely responsible for their education. Nobody else is. Now, you may farm out that education in different ways, and you may say, okay, I think this person over here or this particular school system does a good job with this, and I'll put my child there. But you should always, 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 always monitor that. And the primary education is always, always parents. And therefore, at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, let me suggest a thing. Let's adopt some new parents. Now, I don't mean new in exclusion of the ones you have, but let's adopt the parents of verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and your heavenly father is instructing you. We are all the children of God through faith in Christ if we're believers, and therefore we ought to listen to the instruction of the father and the mother. And where is the father and the mother's instruction? It is in the Word of God. Do you know in the Old Testament, the person who taught was called a parent? We'll see that in just a moment. But notice verse 8, the first two words. Hear, my son. And these words introduce a characteristic means of address in the book. And the means of address is my son. Now, let me skim through it very quickly, but let me give you the feel of how a father is instructing his children and a mother is instructing her children. And the standpoint of Proverbs is God says, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. Look at that, for example, in chapter 1, verses 8, 10, and 15. Verse 8, hear, my son. Verse 10, my son. verse 15, my son. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son. Verse 11, my son. Verse 21 of chapter 3, my son. Chapter 4, verse 10, my son. Verse 20, my son. Chapter 5, verse 1, is addressed to my son. Chapter 6, verse 1, my son. And chapters on through verse 3, verse 20, all addresses sons. So let's begin and say this. Are you a child of God? If you're not, the book of Proverbs doesn't have a whole lot to say to you, because this all begins assuming the reader is in a family relationship. And we are all the sons of Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26, by faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you come in this morning and you are trusting your own works, your own effort, own things that you do for your salvation, Proverbs is not talking to you. But we can fix that real fast. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Father took all of our sins and laid them on Him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ took the penalty and the debt of your sin? When you come to believe in that, you are born into the family. And you don't have to go through any routine. You may be sitting out there this morning, and the minute I said that our sins were laid on Christ, you said, I believe that. I take Him as my Savior. Now you're ready for Proverbs. Now, that was not with an invitation. That was kind of quick. But salvation is instantaneous. The minute you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. So if you did that for the first time, welcome to the family. Let's begin the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 8. And by the way, that address, I stopped with 6:1. You find it in 6:3, 6:20, 7:1, 19:27, 23:15, 19:26, 24:13, 21, and 27:11. Now, is that enough to say the book is permeated with a parent-son relationship? Now, we said earlier that instruction in the home is so germane to the Old Testament that wise men that instruct kings and others are said to be fathers and mothers. Look, for example, keeping your finger here, but look at Genesis 45:8. Instruction of the children in the home was so germane to the Old Testament that if you taught anyone, you were that person's father. Chapter 45 and verse 8. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, this is Joseph speaking, but God, and He made me a father to Pharaoh. And notice the idea is that He is his father, and He instructs Pharaoh. And so in the Old Testament, home teaching is so germane that when Joseph teaches the king, who was not in a literal father, it was not literally his son. And by the way, for you that were here yesterday, I don't think I need to make this correction, but I made a note of the fact that Gene Treese carried me home from the hospital, and Gene is 85, and I noted that that gave it a very special place in my own heart as far as the wedding was concerned. And then we had the reception line, and I had the first five people come by and said, is Gene really your father? And I failed to explain that my father could not bring me home from the hospital because of work, so Gene did so. But Gene is not my father that I know of. Okay. Judges 5:7. This is for the mother. Judges 5:7. And And I bring this in because it's not the only father passage who was an instructor, but this is a passage that brings in someone who was an instructor in Israel, and she was a woman. And so chapter 5, verse 7. The peasantry ceased, they ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel. In what sense was Deborah a mother? She taught the Israelites. And when you taught and communicated the Word of God, you were a father or a mother. You stood in this particular relationship. All right, let's go back now to Proverbs. Chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now let's focus on the two words, father's instruction. The word instruction is a key word in the book of Proverbs. It happens over and over again. It is the Hebrew word musar. And the word musar is not a word that precisely means instruction. It means instruction by discipline. Instruction by discipline. Keep your finger here and look, please, at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2. Deuteronomy 11, 2. And we're looking at the same word that is translated by the word instruction in Proverbs. And notice that same word is expanded and defined in Proverbs 11, verse 2. And I know this day that I am not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the musar. Same word. And how is your translation giving you that word?
Chastisement.
Chastisement? What version are you using, Ken?
King James.
King James. NASB, what do you have?
Discipline.
And so the idea is discipline. Well, how did he do it? Well, his greatness, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, his signs and works, which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. And therefore, all of the works of the Lord, all of the things that he did to Israel, are said to be his musar. He brought them up to the Red Sea, and they couldn't cross it. And God says, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to instruct you something. Some of you are shaking in your boots because you think the Egyptians are going to drive you into the sea and kill you, but I have something you need to learn. A lesson like that can be so powerful. I remember we used to take our laundry to Mrs. Evans. And Mrs. Evans had a big dog. And when we'd pull up, that dog would come out barking. And I remember how I would cringe in the car until one day my dad says, you're going to learn a lesson. And you're going to learn that we in this family are not afraid of anything. Get out. And I got out. He says, take the laundry. He said, open the gate. And I thought that dog was going to eat me alive. But I learned something through his what? Discipline. You are going to do it. And this is the part that's put on the part of the father. Now going back to Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, I'm going to give the word in Hebrew for teaching because I think you'll recognize it. Torah. The Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it is the instruction of God on how to live and how to act within Israel. So, notice the distinction. The father, his instruction, is more disciplinary. The mother's teaching is more instructional. That's neat, isn't it? That's a cooperation within the home. where the mother teaches and the father is the enforcer. And that's the way it ought to be. Please note also in verse 8, raising children is a cooperative effort. Both father and mother are very much involved in it, and they work together. By the way, one of the themes we'll find in Proverbs is a tremendous respect. In fact, it's the only book that has more teaching in regard to how you're to treat your mother and her teaching with respect. And we'll find that throughout the book as we study it. Okay, Proverbs 1 now, verse 9. Here's the command. Don't forsake your father's discipline. Don't forsake your mother's Torah, your mother's teaching. And here is the motivational word. Our English translates the word key in verse 9 by the word indeed. Key, if you look it up in a Hebrew dictionary, always, almost always, means because. So what is he saying? Verse 9 is meant to motivate you. Now here is the thing you ought to be motivated to listen to your parents and their teaching, or listen to our Heavenly Father. Indeed, or because, they are two things. They are a wreath for your head, and they are ornaments about your neck. The ornament about the neck was representative of honor. That ornament was usually a necklace of gold. Let me give you two places. Look at Genesis 41, verse 42. Genesis 41 and verse 42. Now, I realize that you and I are not heavily motivated. I just can't wait to get a wreath on my head. And I can't wait to have a necklace around my neck. Boy, that's worth sweat, isn't it? Well, in biblical times, these were very important. And if you were very honored in a position, you got a gold necklace. Look at chapter 41 and look down at verse 42. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. What did that gold necklace mean? Joseph, you are very, very honored in this kingdom. And so in Proverbs, God is saying if you have the teaching of your mother, the discipline of your father, they make a wonderful, honorable necklace for your neck spiritually. Look at Daniel 5:29. Daniel 5:29. And Daniel, once again, his high position is recognized by a gold necklace. Chapter 5, verse 29 reads, Then Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold about his neck. And this was accompanied by a proclamation that he now had authority as a third ruler in the kingdom. So go back to Proverbs then. Notice the reward is tremendous honor. Verse 9. Because, and this is why you want to seek them, and this is why you don't want to forsake it, because they're a graceful neck, a wreath to your head, and ornaments about your neck. Tremendous spiritual honor is involved. Now, let's look at the call to temptation. The call to wisdom, verses 8 and 9, and now the call to temptation. We have, first of all, a very short summary. And the short summary is found in verse 10. Short summary, verse 10. And we have this coming to us in two parts. The short summary, I'll just put SS, short summary, is verse 10. And it comes in two parts. Number one, the words of the tempter. And second, the warning of the Father. The words of the tempter, and then the warning of the Father. And the words of the tempter are 10a. The warning of the Father is 10b. But as is Hebrew style, that's not enough. This is headlines. And let's take that and give an expanded summary saying the same thing. And the expanded summary is in verses 11 through 19. And it has the same theme as the short summary. Number one, the words of the tempter. Now, where do they begin? Notice they begin in verse 11 with the quote marks. If they say, come with us, and that extends through verse 11, through verse 12, through verse 13, and ends with verse 14. End quote. So notice what was said in one line in verse 10 is now repeated in verses 11 through 15. Now, just as the short summary in 10b gave the warning of the Father, so the warning of the Father in verses 16 through 19. Notice verse 15 begins, my son, do not walk in the way with them. I should have made this 11 through 14. 11 through 15, and coming down to the end of the chapter, verse 19. Okay, you see how it's put together? A short summary that sort of is, it's kind of a wake you up. It's a, hey bud, got something for you to hear. Take a two before and go whack. You're going to have this happen to you. And second whack, here's what I want to warn you about. Then he says, now if you've recovered from my shocking summary, now let's go into details and I'm going to tell you what their words will be. And I'm going to tell you what the warning really is. So let's go down now to the words of the tempter, and it divides into two parts. Of our section. So the warning, the words of the tempter, 10a. My son, if sinners entice you. Now, let me say one other thing in summary about Proverbs. Proverbs only gives two ways to go. There are only two kinds of people. Wise people, and everybody else is a fool. That's the way the book of the Proverbs writes. It puts into two categories. You're either a grief to your mother or you are a joy to your mother. And this is much of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is going to say in this section, there are two paths in front of you. Only two. And we will call them path A and path B. Path A and path B. Now, what are they? Path A is verses 8 and 9. It's the path of wisdom. Path B is verses 10 through 19. Path A is 8 and 9, and path B is 10 through 19. Now, there's a difference between these two paths. One of them is very attractive. The other is not. Which one is presented as attractive and which one is presented by the ones who try to tempt you as attractive? Well, notice in verse 8 and 9, path A offers no material gain. Notice in verses 8 and 9, there's no material gain. There's no money to be made. There's nothing to accumulate except good instruction and good teaching. How much do people value good instruction and good teaching? Very, very, very little. But notice in the contrast to the second path, the second is found in verse 13, or a sample is in verse 13. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Path A offers spiritual prosperity. Path B offers material prosperity. Path A, it's another important distinction. Path A says be different. Path B says join the crowd. They all come along and say go with us. And path A says be different. Path B says join the crowd. Now, when we come down to the A part of verse 10, he says, my son, if sinners, notice the external nature, entice you. The word hathaf in Hebrew means to be spacious, to be wide, to be ample. And so sinners are coming along to you, and they're going to say, if you follow us, you will prosper. We'll give you great things. You will find yourself. Many, many people today are breaking out of the Word of God and saying, oh, I just need time to find myself. Sad discovery. Because this is the way the world offers. We'll give you a broad, spacious path. Does anyone mind go to another passage in the Word of God about a narrow path and broad path? Who else said something about that? Christ did, remember? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the sinners are coming along saying, this is a wonderful, wide, beautiful world of Disney. Come on down the path and join us. And that is the offer that is out there. Last part of verse 10, and we close. It says, say no. Say no. And so one of the first basic questions and propositions of the Christian life is learn to say no. No to what? Well, we'll get that in our study tonight as we begin with verse 11. Father, we're thankful for your word and your truth. We pray that everyone in this auditorium will recognize that we are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if they have never come to make this decision, we pray it will be today, that we will rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ who died for us, and then help us all to join arms in marching down the path of wisdom that is going to be presented to us in this wonderful book of Proverbs. In Christ's name, amen.